Continuing in Megillas Esther, this is like the most important one because it's the week before Purim. I'm not sure if we're having Shirman Shushan Purim. We are. Okay. By 3:30 I anticipate I should be okay to give a shir, so we'll be okay. We'll talk about why the piece of Rebbe Soloveitchik, because it's really 2 days of Purim, only one of which we have mitzvahs on, but it's really 2 days of Purim. Okay, so we'll have the source of learning Megillas Esther on Purim at least. Okay. But at least let's get prepared. So last time, I don't remember the Nakuda that we left off on. I don't remember the Nakuda, yes, I don't remember where exactly, but my argument was as follows. What is Esther's plan? I think Esther's plan is to convince Ahasuerus that she and Haman are having an affair, and if she and Haman are having an affair, so then he would kill Haman, because that's crazy, you're having an affair with my wife. Don't have an affair with my wife, that's crazy. I have more, I have another one in my sender, I'll bring more. I have a couple more home.
This is
my own, meaning... Probably lots of people say it, and I read it in lots of different places, but I can't pinpoint it. So, Rabbi David Foreman says it. So, yes, he has a book on it also. He has The Queen You Never Knew. Some of the things are similar. I read it admittedly after I had started doing some of this. So some of it's from him, some of it's from me, some of it's from the... at some point, you like read it, you're like, I make sense. So I'll take credit, but it's not really me. But yeah, so... She's having if they're having an affair, so Ahasuerus will kill Haman, which is great, the decree will end, she'll die, okay, she's willing to do that, and that's the plan. So she goes, and if you read the Pesukim, I think we did this, when she goes to talk to Ahasuerus, so again, I pointed out she doesn't really go in, right, she says, I can't go in, she doesn't actually go in, she stands outside, although it says Chaser Apnimi, she stands outside, the Pesukim are very clear. And the Pesukim describe, she's standing here, and he's standing there, and he sees her, and she sees him, and he sees her, and she sees him. And they're like, you know, looking at each other lovingly. And he's like, yes, come in. She comes in, and she invites Haman to the party. I think I also pointed out, this is for sure, it's from Rabbi David Foreman. When she, if you look in Pasuk Dalin, I think I pointed this out already, Vatomer Esther, Imala Melech Tov, she's inviting him to the party. Imala Melech Tov, if it finds favor in the eyes of the king, she's speaking in third person, right? Because it's covered to speak in third person to the king, although he's her husband, nonetheless. Imel ha-melech tov, yavo ha-melech ve-haman hayom, you'll both come, el ha-mishteh asher asisi lo, to the party I made for him. Him is a little bit ambiguous, because it's in third person. Doesn't mean Ahasuerus, doesn't mean Haman. Fine. And then they both come, I think we did this part, right? And then when she finally at the party, he says, okay, and there's clearly romantic overtones to the party. Talks about how she gets dressed up. Fine. Hold on, did we finish the parak? We may have finished the parak even.
We did all this.
We finished the parak. Yeah. I apologize. I'm also teaching parts of it in school, and so it gets confusing. Fine. Okay. So, at the end of the story, okay, moving faster. Fine. She invites him. He comes at the party just for everyone to catch up. At the party, Ahasuerus says, no, let's move on. She's like, no, come tomorrow. She's playing hard to get. Haman then goes home, sees Mordechai. Mordechai doesn't bow down to him. The pasuk says how pathetic that is. Kol Zayin and Shobeli. I'm just trying to get everyone up to speed in the next 30 seconds. Everything's not worth it. Zeresh says, make a tree, hang Haman, hang Ahasuerus, hang Mordechai. Wow, and it's a week before Purim. I just messed up Haman and Mordechai already. Right? Hang Mordechai, and everything will be good. Go tell him tomorrow. I suggested go telling him tomorrow is think about it. He doesn't. He goes that night to go tell Ahasuerus. So let's start with Perek Vav. I think we're good if we're starting with Perek Vav. Good. Balayla hu nezdasat ha-melech, the king cannot sleep. The king cannot sleep. Presumably because he's thinking about what my wife might be doing. What Esther and he can't sleep. And so, interestingly, the Gemara there says, and some Ashkenazim have the minig, to read HaMelech as HaMelech, with the Yomim Noraim Nigin, because it says there, Nadid Ashnat Malko Shel Olam. That's where the story starts turning. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of wakes up, and the story starts turning. So, okay. But Pshat is Ahasuerus can't sleep. And so he wants to read some stories. So instead of just reading lullabies or nursery rhymes, he's asked for Davka to say for Azichronos. And I think it's relevant. It's not just random. It's not. It's coincidental that they end up reading about Mordechai, right? That Mordechai saved Ahasuerus from an assassination plot by Bigtan and Teresh. That's true. But that might be coincidental, but why are you reading these? I mean, it's perfectly boring. Why are you reading this book and not a book of stories? So, okay, maybe. So I'm going to argue not. I'm going to argue something a little bit different. that if he's nervous about Haman and Esther, so he's nervous about Haman having a plot to overthrow the king. I mean, if he's having an affair with Esther, the idea is he's being overly ambitious, he's going to try to take over Ahasuerus's position. And so... Yeah. That would have been a good idea. Okay. So he doesn't need to, because what happens in the next couple of pesukim? No, so maybe he would have, but see what happens. He doesn't need to. Haman shows up. It's perfect. Maybe the next day. Okay. He's still thinking. He doesn't know. Meaning all Ahasuerus knows is that Haman was invited to this party. He doesn't really have, you know, you have to go to the judge with like, you know, I don't know what you need. I'm not a lawyer. You need something in order to, like, you know, tap their phones. You have to have something first. Okay. So, unless you're the king, you can do whatever you want anyway. Okay, nunu. Fine. But the idea is here, if he's nervous about Haman, Haman's the second in command. He's nervous about his second in command not being loyal. So, I would argue that he wants to know, well, who else is out there? Who else is available? Who else is loyal to him? Meaning, if he can't trust Haman anymore, he needs other people. He needs more support. So he's reading the Sefer HaZichronos, not coincidentally, it has to be Mordechai. It happens to be Mordechai. Coincidentally, clearly, in quotes, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I think is the point of the Megillah. So every time I say coincidentally, it's anything but clearly, right? It's coincidentally Mordechai, but he's looking for supporters. He's looking for stories of people who helped him out, right? Who helped me out in the past? So now I'll, you know, depending on what happens with Haman, I have to reach out. So he wants that type of support. That's why he's reading these stories. He's looking for help, precisely because he can't sleep, precisely because he's worried about Haman. So they coincidentally read about Mordechai, right? Coincidentally read about Mordechai, but it could have been anybody. Presumably they read more stories, I don't know, maybe, but about other people who he had a loyal relationship with. However, here it says, okay, they read about Mordechai, Gimel. Okay, how did we thank him? Because, again, Ahasuerus is a businessman or politician. He buys Haman's loyalty before, right? Haman asks for a favor. You want to kill the people? No problem. You even want to pay me money? Don't bother with the money. I don't need the money. I'd rather you own me. Ahasuerus thinks like, no, we each owing each other favors, and how it's going to work. So what did I do for Mordechai? When you want to fundraise, so you have to go to the person, what did I do last time? You know, I can't take you out for coffee in the same place. I got to figure, you know, check the notes. What did we do last time? What gifts did I get you last year for Hanukkah? So he says, Mama asa yekar ugdula la Mordechai alzeh. Vayamru na rea melech mishar asav lo na asa imo davar. Nothing. Now that's not good. Right? That's not good. Now admittedly, Mordechai showed loyalty, which is great, but he didn't thank him. So he's a little bit nervous that, the more you thank someone, the more you can count on them. A second time, he's a little bit nervous about how that works out, but at least now, he knows that the only two people we know of in the Megillah, now it's crafted in this way, that have any loyalty to Ahasuerus is Haman, who may or may not be loyal to Ahasuerus, and Mordechai. Now, presumably also, Ahasuerus has no idea that Haman and Mordechai don't get along. Even if you want to argue, and again, I think there's some arguments to the approach that Ahasuerus does not know that it's the Jewish people that Haman wants to kill. Even if you assume he does, there's no reason for Ahasuerus to know that it's a personal vendetta between Mordechai and Haman. Why would he know that information? He has no idea. So the next story that's about to happen is completely coincidental. He has no idea what's happening. But let's read Pasuk Gimel again. I don't think they were against it, I just think they didn't. He's just saying practically, I mean, this is many years ago. Lo na'asa, it never didn't happen. Nothing was given to him. Right, this is many years later already. So, he doesn't remember. What was given to him praise for this? Nothing was done to him. And you could imagine Ahasuerus is now thinking to himself, okay, the next line is, well, okay, what can we do for him? But that's not. The next line is, Vayomer Melech Mi B'Chaser. It like almost cuts him off in mid-sentence. Mi B'Chaser. What do you mean Mi B'Chaser? Who's outside in the courtyard? Presumably he heard something, right? Presumably he saw or heard something that triggers him in mid-sentence, Mi B'Chaser. He's very jumpy. Middle of the night. And he's in the middle of the conference, but my point, he cuts him off mid-sentence. He's very nervous. He's very jumpy. Mi b'chaser. He's like, what's going on? Right? This is why he doesn't need a detective. V'haman ba l'chaser beit ha-melech ha-chitzon ha-limor la-melech idlosim mordechai la-eis asher achin lo. V'haman, contrary to what his wife Zeresh told him to do, she told him to come in the morning. He ran that night. He's coming to ask Ahasuerus to hang Mordechai. That's what he's coming to do. But Ahasuerus now hears that Haman is prancing around outside the castle at night. I mean outside, meaning outside the bedroom, right? Inside the castle somewhere where it's clear that he probably passed through the security checkpoint already.
He was going to wake up Ahasuerus?
So that's hard to mean. We have to think about that for a minute also. That's an excellent question. What was Haman thinking? What was Haman thinking at that time? Right, but like, was he going to wait? We know that Ahasuerus can't sleep. We know that Ahasuerus is awake, because we just read it. Presumably, he was sleeping, no? But you know the king's sleeping. No, but you... What was Haman thinking when he left his house? In the morning. Okay. Could be. Okay, but like, I'm going to guess, though, that Haman had enough pull with the guards, and if he showed up in the morning, they'd like stick him in first. He's like the vice president. He doesn't need to show up at night. I'm going to assume that he thought... I don't think he thought. Ahasuerus should have been sleeping. Right? Ahasuerus should have been sleeping. It happens to be, coincidentally, he's awake because he can't, because of the whole thing. Ahasuerus is unaware, Haman's unaware of any of this, right? What was he thinking when he showed up in the middle of the night? He's going to wake him? So it could be he wants to be first online. It could be he just wasn't thinking. Meaning, and I think that he's not thinking, he's very rash, he's jumping to conclusions. I think it just continues to portray Haman. The way I view Haman is this very impulsive, if there's anyone who's a fool in the Megillah, it's actually Haman. He's like an idiot. What are you doing? You're going to go wake the king? I'm presuming he would get there. The king's sleeping. You have to go back home. You're not going to wake the king. That's dumb. But you didn't think that the king might be sleep on the off chance he can't sleep. It sounds like he didn't have insomnia because that night he couldn't sleep. Presuming he could sleep another night. That he was away. It was at home. Could be. Could be. It doesn't leave it. I'm going to continue to project that Haman's an idiot because he gets played after. Meaning, it follows the character throughout the story. Fine. So, it's Haman outside, prancing around the castle in the middle of the night. Now, they don't know that Ahasuerus is thinking of what's Haman doing at night, but we know what Ahasuerus is concerned with, he can't sleep, and now all of a sudden Haman shows up outside, or inside, or outside the room, whatever it is, at night, this is not good. So, Vayomer HaMelech Yavo. Vayavo Haman, and then there's a long Vayavo Haman. It's a lot of like drama building in the language. They do that sometimes in the Megillah. I was trying to find a word for it. I think there's a word in opera where like the musical accompaniment to the word gives it more meaning.
Crescendo.
But crescendo just means but that it matches. Like later when Haman eventually falls on Esther's bed, it's Haman Nofel. There's a ravi, on no fail. Like it's the tone goes down with the word. The music, right? The music adds to the meaning of the word. So I think also here, Vayavo Haman, it's like a grand, like, unclear what he's in for. There's a dramatic moment that he's coming in and he has no idea what's about to happen. But the trump is supposed to be there to enhance the story. So it clearly does. The fact that I don't have a word for it is irrelevant. But there should be a word for it that it enhances the meaning. So Vayavo Haman. Fascinating. Haman never gets out of his mouth what he's doing there. Ahasuerus doesn't really care. He doesn't ask, but he never gets it in. So Ahasuerus has no idea why he shows up. It's an important thing to remember because Haman's coming that night to ask permission to kill Mordechai. He never actually says that, right? So again, Ahasuerus has no clue that they don't get along. He has no idea. Until the very, very end, and maybe then. So, Ahasuerus needs a plan. Right? So he asks, what should I do to someone who I want to thank? And ostensibly, he's asking about Mordechai. Right? The simple way of reading the story is, oh, Haman, wonderful, I love Haman, he's my trusted advisor, I need to thank Mordechai, what should I do to him? However, I think that's a simple way to learn it, and I think that's how I learned it in kindergarten. But I think that on the deeper level is, if he doesn't trust Haman, so then what's he doing? What are you asking Haman for? So, yeah, so I think that, remember, Ahasuerus is politically savvy. Now, if it's true that Haman is an idiot, and I'm going to go with that for a minute, he knows the next line. Ahasuerus already predicts, Vayomer Haman bilibo, lemiach po tamelach lasos dikari yoterbi meni. Haman thinks, of course, it's about me.
I think Ahasuerus is playing with Haman.
Yeah, yeah, playing with Haman.
He didn't say, Boshla diplomata.
Correct, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no, 100%. I agree completely. He's playing with Haman. Because he knows, Ahasuerus knows, that when he asks Mordechai, he knows that when he asks Haman the question, Haman is going to be thinking about himself. He can already predict that. He can predict that. So he knows, I'm going to ask the question, you know, about a friend, and Haman will think it's about him. Meaning that Ahasuerus is asking a question, what does Haman, knowing that Haman thinks about himself, but Haman's such an idiot, he doesn't realize that he's being played by Ahasuerus. He doesn't realize that Ahasuerus is baiting him. Right? What should we do to someone we want to thank?
So Ahasuerus now suspects.
Yes. Yes, that's my... I believe that Ahasuerus suspects Haman, and he's asking him now, he's baiting him. He's not genuinely interested in Haman's answer. Meaning he's interested in the answer, but about what it says about Haman, as opposed to like what to do to Mordechai. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, precisely, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, interesting. Okay, but here there's no other option. Here there's no other option. Here it has to be Haman. There it could be ambiguous. Here it has could be, okay. Could be. So he asks him, what do you do to someone who I want to thank? Meaning, effectively he's asking Haman, Haman, what do you think you deserve? Right? Meaning without telling that to Haman. Haman, what do you think I should do for you? Because it'll help me get a clue. I mean, he's not going to say this part, but it'll help him get a clue as to where Haman's going with his, you know, visions of grandeur. And Haman, who's played again, if you think he's a fool, it makes a lot of sense. Vayomer Haman el HaMelech, ish asher HaMelech havet bikarei, know what you should do? Yaviu levush malchus asher lavash bo HaMelech, the king's clothes. Visus asher achav alav HaMelech, and the king's horse. V'asher nitan keter malchut b'roso, and the king's crown. V'nason alabush v'asus al ish misari ha-melech ha-partimim. And someone from the king's entourage should dress him and put the crown on his, because of yourself, you can't dress yourself. Right? V'ilbish v'asher malchut b'roso, v'irkibu alasus b'chob ha-ir. V'karu levanav kochay ha-asel ha-ish, asher ha-melech ha-vet b'karo. They should dress him up, parade him through the city, and say, this is how you treat someone who the king thanks. Now, Ahasuerus is listening and saying, so you're telling me, and now Haman's saying it about the friend, but Haman's thinking about himself. I want to wear the crown. I want to wear the king's clothing. And I want to wear on the king's horse. I want somebody from the king's entourage to parade me because no one should think that I'm dressing up for Purim. I want someone from the king. I want it to be very clear. Ahasuerus' private guard is walking me throughout the city. Let it be clear. And just in case. And just in case there are people who aren't by their windows looking, I want you to start calling out so people know to come to the windows to look. He wants to make a whole public scene, right? He wants it to be visual. He wants, like, an audiovisual sort of like back in the day, right? It's not enough. You're not going to see it otherwise. You're going to be yelling out and screaming. This is how we treat Haman. Ahasuerus hears it and says, you want to be the king. That's what it sounds like. Ahasuerus hears that Haman wants to be king because everyone knows that Haman's thinking about himself. Haman's thinking about himself, but Ahasuerus knows he's thinking about himself. He set him up. So now he's got a big problem. He thinks that Haman is sleeping with his wife, or is trying to at least, that's why he's around the castle, and now he wants to be the king. This is not good. So the first thing out of Ahasuerus' mouth is, okay, no. No. Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman, Maher Kachad Elbush V'Tasus Kasher Dibarta. You know what? The first thing he needs to do is put Haman in his place. No. You are not the king. You don't have ambitions of being the king. You go do that to somebody else. Do it to someone else, and practically, I don't even care who it is. But you know what? This guy Mordechai we just talked about, it makes sense. Let's do it to Mordechai. Right? Coincidentally, we just read about Mordechai. We have to thank him anyway. You have this great plan. Do it to him.
And you be the schlep.
Right, and you be the schlepper. You be the guy, Dafka, to do it. Meaning, the whole point is to put Haman in his place. It's not the, it happens to be, in my reading, it happens to be coincidental that it happens to be to Mordechai. Again, he has no idea that they don't get along. He has no idea that Haman even knows Mordechai. Look, he tells him to do it. I got to tell you where to find Mordechai. Here's his address. Because if you don't know Mordechai, I'll tell you who this guy is. This is Jew. Do it to him. He has no idea that they know each other. He has no idea that they even, presumably, you know, they know who they are. But that guy.
I think they have to check.
Well, Achashverus knows. Yeah, I know. My point is, Haman, Achashverus doesn't realize that Haman even knows Mordechai. He knows, I hope, from around the palace, but like they have anything to do with each other.
I think it's just the
opposite. Yeah.
The king knows that the Haman hates Mordechai, and he makes it to
and he does a bedavka. Okay. So, look, if he's trying to really upset Haman, you'd find like the worst person ever.
He wants to become king, so he's really going to.
Could be. Although there's no evidence to show that Achashverus is aware of this issue. So that I don't know, because at the end you'll see that Zeresh isn't even aware. Zeresh is unaware of what involvement Haman has. Right? It's very strange. It's very strange who knows exactly that. It could be. You're right. It could be. I'm suggesting that he has no idea. And that's why they just read about... The Megillah says, if that were true, the Megillah wouldn't have to tell me that they just read about Mordechai. I'm reading that the Megillah just told me that they read about Mordechai as a setup. You're saying a reason. Okay, but I'm saying the Megillah does it as a setup, meaning there's no other reason to thank Mordechai other than we just read about him. So let's do it to him. And then it becomes more coincidental, which I think is they're trying to highlight the coincidence. So go do it to Mordechai. Now, Haman, he really wants to say, can I go hang Mordechai in the morning?
Too late now.
That's not going to work. That's not going to work. So he's not so stupid. He stays quiet. Also, Achashverus told him, my hair, go quickly. But, see, I wonder what time it is. But, go do it, right? So, Haman can't actually ask him to go and hang Mordechai anymore, because, like, not going to work, right? It's not going to be okay, because I'm just going to carry him, and that's not going to work out. So he stays quiet. So, but now he did, yeah. No, correct. So now, he did, so, also, does Haman know that Mordechai saved the king's life?
No.
Presumably not also. Because he's asking to kill Mordechai, right? And he doesn't even know that part. When? Correct. He doesn't. Achashverus has no idea.
He should have known because he didn't
second in command. So that's a good question. When did he become second in command? Because. Right, it wasn't clear, right? It says in Parag Gimel, that's after the story, Gidol HaMelech Achashverus et Haman. So he may have been involved, but not at such a high level.
Just
yeah.
Help,
yeah. No, I think so. Like, to put him in his place. I mean, do every last detail you said, someone else, not you. Anybody but you. I think that's his point. Meaning, not you, but... So he's like, I mean, no, I think Al-Tap El-Davar highlight. No, I think I'm going to argue the opposite. Al-Tap El-Davar boosts my perspective. Why? It's not about thanking Mordechai. It's not about Mordechai at all. It's about you need to be put, Haman needs to be put in his place. So every last detail that you just said that you thought you deserve, go do it to someone else. I don't even care who it is. So fine. Vayikach Haman et Al-Bush v'et Asuz v'yalbish et Mordechai. And he does this. Yeah. So Mordechai, okay, what do you do after the king parades? He goes back. Okay. Yeah, the daughter with the The next day. Presumably in the morning. Could it have been at night? It could have been. I'm guessing not. It's dark. Right? And it's also not the... Yeah. I'm guessing it doesn't say though. The Haman nidchaf el beito avel v'chafui rosh. Haman is now very, very dejected. There's a lot of Purim Torah on why avel and chafui rosh. There's Gemara chafui rosh avel we know. Avel is in mourning, so I'm just saying he's very sad. And chafui rosh, his head is like covered. It sounds like another way of sadness. They say no, his daughter knew the plan. I don't know how she knew the plan. Unclear what she knew or not. Meaning, where would she know that this was going to happen? And she presumed it was Mordechai parading Haman, and so she threw the garbage on his head, and he was yelling at, but I know, but why did she presume that any of them were Haman or Mordechai?
He went directly.
Yeah, it's unclear. Oh, he dressed. He took him at home first to dress him. Maybe I don't know. You have to. The Medrash requires reading into it a little bit. Yeah, it requires reading it into it a little bit. And then they say that when she realized it was her father, she jumped to her death. Okay, that's why he's an Avel. Boy, Avel, and then Chafui Rosh is to be Chafui Rosh and Avel. That is Purim Torah on that. We'll say for Purim, for the Purim Torah. It's not real Torah. Well, and the Gemara Megillah says that she threw the stuff on his head. Not offhand. Somewhere in the first parak. I know, so no, why is it Avel before Chafui Rosh? It should have been Chafui Rosh. And then she jumped to her death, Avel. So that just put him on. Okay, fine. But he's very dejected. He's very, like, he realizes that this didn't work out quite as he planned. He was hoping that the opposite would happen. He was hoping that Mordechai would be dead and not being paraded through the city. He is presuming he would not have been Avel v'chafui rosh. The whole point was, do this, and then, uboi lamiseh sameach. The whole point was his wife told him, do this, you can come to the party happy. And the exact opposite happens. It's a disaster. He was on top of the world, and now he realizes that something here is very, very wrong. Right now, everything's on, now, meaning figuratively also, he's now below Mordechai. I mean, he's schlepping Mordechai through the city. Mordechai's on the horse. He was, the day before, he thought he was the greatest, right? He told his wife, I'm the only one who was brought. I'm on top of the world. Right? He leaves Sameach v'tov leiv. The only time he's ever happy in the Megillah is when he leaves the first party. And now the entire story flips. It flips, and we have 3 minutes to say what I think is the most important part of the whole Megillah, but I want to get it in before Purim. The Banu Salevi says it. I think this is the most important line in the Megillah. So I just want to get this in before Purim. Vayisaper Haman lo Zeresh, I think that this line of Zeresh is like the most important thing. Vayisaper Haman lo Zeresh, yitolachol avet kol shekaro. He tells his wife, this is what happened. This is not the most reassuring, like, it'll be okay, don't worry, Abba, it'll be fine. And they tell him, no. Im mizim, mizera Yehudim, Mordechai asher achilot alin polifanov, lo tuchalo, ki nafolti polifanov. If this guy Mordechai, who wants to kill, happens to be Jewish, he's known as Mordechai Yehudi. And beforehand, she calls him Mordechai Yehudi, so... If he happens to be Jewish, which I think means, if he's part of that plot that you have in 11 months to kill the Jews, if he's part of that, you're never going to win. Nafolti pol lefanav, it'll all turn around and you will be on the bottom. Why? When does he become a prophetess? I think he's saying no. I think this is the whole point of the Megillah is she says it. She realizes something's happening.
Why would she think that Mordechai was a Yehudi?
So she's saying, if, she's saying like this, if, she says, look, you, yesterday, wanted to kill Mordechai. You thought you were on top of the world. You were the second in command. You were the most important person in all of Paras. You were going to easily ask the king for a favor, just kill Mordechai, no problem. Easy, come, easy. It'll be so easy. And then you'll go to the party, Sameach. And now, not only was it not successful, but completely for the Hafochu, completely the opposite. Now Mordechai was paraded throughout the city. The king doesn't trust you. You couldn't even get out of your mouth to ask him, and now you can't even ask him? She's saying to him effectively, something here is going on, and you are not in charge. And if he is part of that Jewish plot that you have, you want to kill the Jews in 11 months, if this is all part of that, you need to rethink. Because something here is happening. I think it's God. You think it's God. She's not going to say God, because it doesn't say it in Megillah. But something here is at play, something here is controlling the story, and it's not you. And if Mordechai happens to be Jewish, if he's part of this, Nahapochu from the night before, is part of the plot to kill the Jews, don't be surprised when the whole thing is going to flip on you, and in the middle of her talking, Odame Dabrimim Ovesariseya Melech Higiyu, as she's saying, Nafol Tipo Lefanov, you will fall, they drag him to the party. So, right, they do it quickly. So when he shows up at the party, what's he still hearing in his mind? Nafolti pol lefanav. Be aware, someone here is in charge and it's not you. And I don't know why the Megillah puts it in Zeresh's mouth, but Zeresh is almost the most explicit recognition of Yad Hashem running the story. She said, look, If Mordechai is part of this whole thing and it flips, the whole thing's going to flip. Someone is in charge. She's not going to say God, but we know it's God and not you. And I think that's the whole point of Purim, that you recognize that Hashem is really in charge. And Mitzvah Hashem on Shushan Purim will continue.